Kevin Fishbane.
I got Fishy Business, K. Fishbane.
Fishy Business?
Fishy Business, what I call him whenever I have him on the show, Fishy Business.
Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
I just try to work hard and tell good stories. I should also note, I know the sports caster of the year for Illinois is no longer covering Illinois team, and I am not leaving to cover the Detroit Lions.
All right, well, good.
Kevin Fishbane talking Bears.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic.
I love your name.
It's a great name.
Yeah, great name.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's find out what impression the Bears made on our next guest, our regular Bears Friday guest, Kevin Fishbane. Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Kevin Fishbane, senior writer at The Athletic on Twitter at Kevin Fishbane, is with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com and Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. What's up, Kevin? How are you?
Happy Friday, guys. Matt Eberflus, undefeated in preseason openers.
The Bears, the only undefeated team in the NFL right now, sir.
Get used to it.
All they do is win.
No matter what.
It's very true. So what, if anything, did you take from last night?
Well, I mean, like everybody, Lawrence, I wanted to see the kickoff. I just was curious, obviously, and I think that I didn't take a ton from it because I think it's just me so much experimenting, but it was nice to kind of see and get a little bit of a glimpse of what it's going to look like. As far as the players in the field, you know, like obviously Brett Rypien and Colin Johnson kind of stole the show on the offensive side of the ball. So then the next question is, you know, do we have a number two quarterback battle or is Colin Johnson making the team? And, you know, I don't know that yet. I mean, Rypien looked very impressive. And Colin Johnson was on the team last year and they've got spots at the bottom of the roster wide receiver. You know, look, all those guys, they did what you would want them to do. I mean, they played at an incredibly high level, on a national stage, granted against backups. But you know, look, I was thinking about it during that first Texans drive when Davis Mills just marched downfield. There were maybe two or three guys who will see regular defensive snaps, if not for injury on the field, maybe. So, you know, again, we got to take everything with a grain of salt.
Well, what don't you take? Is there anything about big picture, about process, about the kickoff rule? Are you in just in your notes, anything that at least merits watching going forward?
Well, I want to see how the kickoff improves, right? Like there was, you know, it didn't, you know, Devin Hester said it, like it wasn't like that exciting of a play, and the idea is to bring this play back. And you know, it's just gonna, I think we have to remember the Bears and the Texans did not have their first team kickoff return units out there. They're going to be, it's this tricky line that these special teams coordinators have to, you know, straddle here, because you need to experiment. You got to figure out what works and what doesn't. You also don't want to show anybody anything, because if you figure out something that works, like you want to keep that to yourself as long as you can until you have to do it in the regular season. I saw Sam Schwartzstein, who developed this for the XFL originally. You know, he said he saw the Bears were essentially running a trap play on their first return. And I believe it was Tyler Scott was returning. Just didn't, you know, either he missed the block or he, you know, did not wait for it to get set up. But that's what these things, one of the options that coaches have is to kind of create run plays out of this, have run blocking schemes set up. So that's something I just want to continue to see. It's like, I'm trying to understand that we're not going to see everything from this kickoff in the next few weeks, but you also want to see some little glimpses that, hey, maybe the Bears are onto something here. Maybe other teams are onto something to allow this to be a weapon for them, a tool for them.
I wonder if this also will give special teams coordinators a little bit more roster power. Because usually those guys will be the tie vote. Like they break the tie. If someone is trying to make a roster, what's their value? Are they a four-phase player? That sort of thing. With this, you almost have to build the roster with this in mind because it's so important.
Yeah, it's a great point, Lawrence. And I will say this, I was surprised Velus Jones didn't play last night. I thought he was, you know, maybe he's solidified as the number one kickoff returner, which we've kind of said for a long time. Maybe he's solidified as kind of the number five wide receiver, which might scare a lot of Bears fans. And maybe they just want to hide him a little bit because he will be the kickoff returner. That's a possibility. He's the exact type of guy who, before the rule, you would have said totally on the roster bubble. Now with the rule, you're like, okay, well, a guy like that, that's something he's good at. Like, he's in now because you need him. And the different body types that you're looking for right now for the kickoff return, for that unit, for the guys who are either blocking or in coverage, figuring out who those players are, figuring out which of those guys, as they go through some practice, Richard Hightower is figuring out, well, who's really good at this? And who do I got to talk to Ryan Poles, maybe, for us and find a way to get this guy onto the roster because he's really good at this specific kickoff and we're going to need it. I mean, you saw the drive starts. You're right. Like, they do the math on this stuff, guys, that, where your drive starts and the correlation with the result, there's a lot of science behind that. You get out to the 25 to the 30 and more, it makes a big difference. And so these guys are gonna be taking this really seriously.
What did you think of the spectacle of the game last night? Like, all of the stuff and, Devin Hester being out there, Misty being out there, the whole thing. It felt like if I were a Texans fan, I'd probably be a little upset because it felt like a Bears celebration.
Yeah, so one thing that I didn't really realize until a couple days ago, Lawrence, and maybe I should have, is the Bears were technically the home team in this game. So, but I didn't actually expect the broadcast to skew in that direction per se, because it's a national broadcast, doesn't matter that much who the home team is. But I wonder if that played any kind of role. Obviously, when you have Hester, you have Bongo, you've got Peppers, you've got more guys than an Andre Johnson that the Texans have. The Caleb Williams thing is a huge talking point. But yeah, there was a lot of Bear stuff. I think ESPN went very heavy on the Bears element of this. And look, I mean, the Texans were the great story last year, and I think they obviously have really high expectations. So they're absolutely should be a talking point. You hit it right there. That did seem to be kind of like a Bears celebration. You got the Hard Knocks clip. You've got the interview with the GM and the team president, all those different things. So I don't know how much of that was the technicality that the Bears are the home team, the fact that they had the 2.5 Hall of Famers, if you will, or the whole Caleb element. But obviously they knew that there was going to be a lot of people in Chicago watching.
Could Brett Rippon be the backup quarterback?
He could, Dan. You're trying to figure out the right amount of stock to put in what he did last night, right? And I was wide-eyed watching some of those throws. I mean, and Troy Aikman said it too. These were not just little checkdowns. These were not broken coverages and throws behind the receiver. I mean, he was rifling it to these guys in stride.
And Eberflus said he was throwing guys open.
Yeah, and that's what you want your quarterback to do. Now, I really do believe that Tyson Bagent, as we saw, that this is his job to lose. And I haven't seen anything in training camp to tell me that this is a competition. I've not seen that. Obviously, what happened last night makes you think. Makes you wonder, okay, is Brett Rippon going to fight this? The Bears love Tyson Bagent. They were so pleased with what he did last year. They really believe that they have something in him. And there is obviously this incredible commodity of having an undrafted guy be your number two quarterback when you see how much money teams have to spend on veterans at that position. But Brett Rippon's not very expensive either, obviously, where he's at his career. So maybe it's a situation where the Bears have to figure out how to keep three. I'd be shocked if Bagent is not with the team in some way. I still think this is going to be his spot. But Brett Rippon put on quite the show last night.
Fish, I really trust you because I find you to be – well, I mean, you're a sports writer of the year. But other than that, I find you to always be level-headed, and you're not necessarily just kind of – following coverage. I give you that preamble to ask you this question. Is the excitement about Jarvon Dexter Sr., in your opinion, based in reality, or is it one of those things where camp's gone on for a week or so and you know what the story is with the quarterback and you're looking for something different? I'd love for it to be real, so I'm curious what you think.
It's a great question, Lawrence, and I don't want to let you down with that preamble. I do think there's something real there. I was saying this to somebody earlier today that, you know, at the end of training camp, we always do kind of like the superlatives and the top players and whatever. Based on if things continue the way I've seen the last 2 weeks, we're going to have a section in there about Jarvon Dexter's training camp. Like, he's been good. And you guys know, right? We always have the best shape of his life story. We always have the year two jump story. You can go back into the archives. I know I did this with you guys last week. You can go find a Kevin Fishbane bylined Kasim Green's in the best shape of his life heading to 2014 Bears training camp story, okay? I have seen Jarvon Dexter make plays. The first padded practice, he had a tackle for loss, which was one of those TFLs where it's like he got there before the running back did. And you also are buying into a little bit of the fact that Ryan Poles did not draft a three technique. He did not go sign a three technique. Like, they obviously saw a lot of stuff that told them that they could really believe in him. So you buy into that a little bit. But from what I've seen in camp, he's been very good. And, you know, what level of good is that going to be in the regular season? I don't know. But I do think there is more to it than just your kind of chalk filling. Because I was making fun of myself, Lawrence, in the spring. Like, every time you're writing some kind of story, it's like, well, this is a big year for Jarvon Dexter. He's the guy. Everyone's saying nice things about him. Year two, here we go. Three techniques, the engine of the defense, all of those things. Fortunately, from what I've seen, it has, I don't know if it's matched that hype, but it's been close enough where you're like, okay, there is something there. This is not just bluster. I do think that he has put together a strong performance so far.
Do you still believe that they have their other defensive end, or because I worry about that too. Like, I worry, do they have the necessary things to improve their pass rush, which was one of the worst in the NFL last year?
Yeah, and we have to remind people that every time, Lawrence, because as good as Montez Sweat was, they still were bottom of the league in just about every pass rush number. DeMarcus Walker, I think, had a fine camp. I think he's done what you expect of him. It's not been, you know, it's not been at this level of, oh my God, do they have another Pro Bowler over there? But it hasn't been at a level of, oh boy, they need to go sign somebody right now, which I think you can see because they haven't signed anybody yet. Now, you got Ogba is off the board. Like, I think, you know, Jacob Martin's injury, I wondered if that was going to do something. The one guy I was kind of curious to see last night was, like, the wild card in this is, what if Austin Booker is ready? Now, he got some reps with the ones in their pass, like, third down package last week with Martin now. Didn't necessarily, I mean, I thought it was fine last night. I'm looking forward to kind of rewatching some of his snaps. Didn't see anything that was eye-popping, but he's kind of this, like, X factor, if you will. I'll think of another cliche after Wildcard and X Factor for the third time I mention him. It's like
intangible.
There you go. Like, what if he can be that guy already as a rookie? And I don't want to put all that on him because they have other guys there, but there could be something with him to be that option. But I do think it is very fair for Bears fans to worry about that other end spot as far as pass rush production. I will say this, though, too, when you talk about training camp performance, I would put what we've seen from Montez Sweat so far up there with what Khalil Mack did in 2019.
Ooh, like, he's hello.
Like, yeah, that somebody brought that up yesterday and was like, we're not talking about this enough. Like, he just, I don't know if it's that level yet, because that was like the offense could not run plays because Khalil Mack was in the backfield constantly. But I do think that Sweat has had, you know, look, he knocked the ball out, got thrown out of the drill. And again, like, you're not supposed to do that, but it's just a reminder of how effective his pass rush has been. He's been somebody that, you know, you look down in your notes and you're like, you've been, it's like, oh, I've been writing down 98 a lot because 98's been doing what you would hope somebody at his caliber has been doing. But you still need somebody else on the other side to do it effectively as well.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but the fact that we haven't had to this point in camp already some kind of serious injury, a soft tissue injury, a non-contact injury, is this any indication that they're being smarter or better about things?
Well, I think you just ruined everyone's weekend.
I know. I already have just now. I'm going to get blamed the moment something happens this weekend.
It's really challenging for me to make that correlation without knowing, like, the exact sports science stuff they're doing. What I do know is that Ryan Poles has put a lot of thought and resources into shaping that strength in sports science department. And like and again, I don't know if it's any more or less than like your average NFL team. But there is a concerted effort by the Bears to do whatever they can, you know, control what you can control and put in whatever measures they can to avoid those injuries. I mean, you can, if you want to point to the grass that they have at Hallis Hall, if you want to point to the people that they have on the training staff and the strength staff, it's possible that that's all working. I'm sure the Bears are probably tell you that, but you know, a lot of these things are just freak things that happen. And the Bears are fortunate that they haven't had to deal with that yet.
What's it feel like for you to see Pep and Mongo and Devin go into the Hall?
It's really cool, Lawrence. I mean, like, I think that I'm in the, you know, I'm in the Devin Hester generation a little bit of like, you know, because I wasn't there for the 80s Bears teams. So the best Bears teams of my life, you know, started in 01. Obviously, like I was like the biggest Mike Brown guy, you know, like that team was so important. But like the Devin Hesterification of Bears fans, I feel like I was like really a part of that. Like I mean, everybody knows where they were when he took that kickoff back. I just think there's like nobody like him in football. I think it's really cool to be able to see him get honored like that. With Julius Peppers, again, to be kind of self-talking about myself here, like the first day when I was on the Bears beat for the first time and you walked in the locker room and Lawrence, I know you knew this just by kind of being around that team. Peppers just was this like mythical figure.
He's Paul Bunyan.
Exactly. You just like, you hear the stories and then you see him and you're like, oh my gosh.
It threw me to see gray in his beard for some reason. It's the first time I remember looking at him like, oh, okay, he's older now. Like he's not superhuman.
Just again, see a guy like that get recognized. And obviously, you know, you guys know Mongo and you know what he means to the city. And I was fortunate enough to get to meet him a couple times, you know, earlier in my career, and you know, including spending a night at the Tampa Bay, the Hard Rock Casino, and hearing Mongo just sit at the bar and tell you stories. You know, it's one of those things like you're never going to forget that moment with that guy. I mean, you talk about a larger than life figure. That was Mongo. I know Jack Silverstein, who you guys had on yesterday, I was just reading his, you know, the stats that he puts up. You know, again, this is not just because Mongo is Mongo. I mean, the guy was a monster. So I think it's really cool, and it's nice to see kind of the Bears be able to have this celebration this weekend.
Fish, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
All right. Take care, guys.
That's Kevin Fishbane. We have fresh sound from Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Can you sweep the weekend?
Can you?
Can you do it?
I'll let the brooms out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You should probably do that.
I'll do it. I'm happy to let the brooms out. They like Lollapalooza. That's a good point.
They could go to Lala, and yep. Then they could go to
Who
Wrigley.
Let the brooms out?
And then they could go to Lala.
Yep. The brooms are also scantily clad and covered in glitter.
Yeah, that's why we have them.
The Cubs continue their series at home against the Cardinals. Pre-game coverage starts at 12:45 with first pitch at 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. And if you haven't made plans to do so yet, join Parkins and Spiegel Tuesday from 2 to 6 at The Wall in Marcus Gurney Cinema to register to win prizes and tickets and enjoy specials on food and beverages all day. And then at 8 p.m., enjoy the premiere of Hard Knocks on The Wall's big screen. Admission's always free at The Wall. We need to put our bingo card entries together. So are we submitting them in the group chat?
It's a good question.
I say yes.
I say yeah. Well, yeah. Sunday evening, we'll tell Layla too. By Sunday at what? We'll say 6-7 o'clock. Have your submissions ready.
Have 10 submissions, and then you guys will curate and put the card together.
Perfect.
Sounds good to me. That's a plan. We'll hear from Craig Counsell when we come back.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
In Odyssey Station.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
We are. I can look out the window here and see all of the Lala crowds starting to amass, beginning to gather. It's a lot of half-naked people covered in glitter headed to their various stages.
It's fun to kind of watch how the people here are navigating Lala. I was talking with Molly Cruz, who runs B96, and I was like, are you even going to be in the office this week? She's like, not really. And, you know, Gina is dressed for Lala. We were talking in the hallway.
Yeah, she was setting up Ray.
No, that was Jen BT.
Oh, that was Jen.
Yes.
Who was working on
Gina has blue hair.
Oh, that's Gina. Okay.
Yeah. So and yeah, like I was trying to figure out, I was just asking Ray if he was gonna go. He's not.
I'm not, but I'll be.
I think it's a good move.
Yeah.
Studs, are you gonna make it to Lala this weekend?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
If the only reason I would go to Lala would be if Incubus was playing.
Good Lord.
I mean, I've been.
They would never be playing Lala at this point in their career, right? They would be playing other festivals.
They play Riot Fest a few years ago.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like they're probably not a Lala band anymore.
Maybe.
I did quite a few years consecutively going to Lala, and you know, I'm glad I did.
You see Angel Reese on the stage with Megan Thee Stallion last night?
Oh, hell yeah. I caught that for sure.
I did. And I caught most of the Chapel Roan show, even though technically I wasn't at Lala. Lala came to me.
Well, if you live close enough, and I have friends who live over here at like Lakeshore East, they go, yeah, you just hang out on the deck and listen and sometimes see what's going on at Lollapalooza, which is nice.
I heard the whole thing, and I think I'm going to play Chapel Roan on a speaker when I fish from here on in, because the fish seem to like her.
Let's see if it works.
We'll see. We're going to be downtown tomorrow. My happy birthday to my mother and her twin sister, my Aunt Joyce. I am old enough now, as of in a few days, I will have two...
Happy birthday! I will have
two 80-year-old parents.
You don't have to put her business out there like that.
No, they should be proud of it. You make it to 80, and then my mom said something. She goes, oh my God, it's going to be such a big dinner. I should probably start starving myself now just so I can eat. I said, you're 80. You can eat whatever you want. It doesn't matter. You won. You're 80 and still fine. Eat everything. Do whatever you want. Yeah. Once you get to 80, it's yaha time.
I agree.
I mean, seriously, you should go there, order everything.
But I mean, you know, there might be effects, and she doesn't want to deal with those effects. So I appreciate her monitoring her intake.
No,
what works for her.
I am entering her in next 4th of July's hot dog eating contest.
No, you don't want to do that.
It's going to be Kobayashi, Joey Chestnut, and Janice Bernstein.
You don't want your mom out there with all those glizzies. It's not the move.
No comment.
All right. Craig Counsell, let's hear from the Cubs manager as the Cubs try to make sure that they get a split and put themselves in position to sweep. That's, you got to keep winning. It's the Cardinals. They're in town. Do work. Here's what he said.
He's talking about Javier Assad to start off here.
I thought Javi kind of pitched a little differently in his last outing, which is always interesting for the you know, team that he's pitching against today. I thought he did a really good job with his breaking balls, and Javi's had a lot of success with his fastball this year. So I think there's a little recognition on his part that, you know, maybe I got to do something different. I got to avoid the walks, really. And that's pitching, right? That's kind of recognizing what your stuff is doing that day and, you know, adjusting to that. So I think that's what we kind of saw in game, is him, and I thought Betty did a nice job catching him that day and just figure out kind of what you have confidence in and what you're executing, and he did a nice job.
That's one thing you've said with a new catcher. It doesn't have to be a negative. It can be a positive with fresh eyes. Just in the last week plus with Bethancourt, what have you thought about the way that he's maybe brought a fresh perspective?
Yeah, I think... And then that what's helpful there is experience, because it's kind of the confidence to maybe go like a little against the grain or what's maybe been, you know, successful. And so I think he has confidence to do that. And that's really important, that you just have the confidence and kind of courage to make that call.
You talked a little bit about this yesterday, but like Bellinger coming back, the way he's looked at the plate, you know, I guess, what do you kind of attribute that to? What do you think maybe is...
I think he's a good hitter. I mean, as simple as that. He's a good hitter. I think it's always, look, it's fun to, you know, a guy comes right off the injured list, he's got a broken finger, and he's, you know, hits right away, no at-bats for a couple weeks. That's, you know, you're impressed by that and kind of amazed by it. But I think Cody's a good hitter, and he's getting some good pitches to hit and putting some nice swings and just having good at-bats in general.
Pre
the world changes, would you have been more likely to give like a stop sign to Nico in the top in the ninth inning tying run? Or do you give, is that, if you're a base stealer, you're a base stealer?
No, yeah. No, I don't know. That was probably just more like, can we get two more hits off Helsley? Sure, yeah. Really, that's kind of the calculus. That's the risk you're deciding there. And it's just tough to get, we ended up getting two more hits, but it's just, it's tough to get two more hits off of guys like that. And so you're
easier to live with the rule changes. Guys are stealing more. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we had a good base runner on. I think the rule changes really have just made the league more aggressive. If anything, they've just kind of switched. They've turned everybody into being more aggressive. But I think situationally that was just you're just putting some risk on to, because you don't think it's hard to get a couple hits.
Posota?
Yeah.
It's 5 days this time. Are you thinking to continue every 5 days or?
Undecided right now when he's going to pitch.
He had a little bit extra day always.
Yeah. A lot of it is schedule based. It's really based on, do we have off days? Do we not have off days? So we've got to evaluate that here in the next couple of days and figure that out.
When Porter first came up, you had even said like it might have even been a little fast for him, but like obviously he needed the arm. Have you seen him progress and obviously earn some of the more high leverage opportunities that he's been given the last few weeks now and taking on that role?
His development, I've said this, like probably as big as any player during the seasons from spring training to now, is I think that we've had on our club. And it's really just a credit to him. I would stand by the statement I made, that it was a little fast. I think in the first couple outings, it felt a little fast, frankly. But the biggest thing is that he's a talented arm, and he's gotten himself in the strike zone. And that, has really, that's the success. Now, that's easier said, that's easy just for me to say it, but he's done a good job. That's delivery stuff, where he's gotten his delivery more consistent to throw more consistent strikes. But I think we saw the talent, the arm talent in spring, and it was just a question of like, can we get him in the zone? And that's credit to the pitching coaches and kind of getting the delivery end of Porter and getting the delivery to a point where he can be more repeatable with it.
Among Wicks, Brown, and Wisniewski, do you expect them to pitch in major league games again this year?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're all on.
Yeah, I think Jordan's calendar is the most clear cut in terms of like he's on a pretty clear calendar to get him back. The other guys, the calendar is a little more fuzzy, I guess. That's not a great word, but that's the word. And so, but I would still expect him to pitch.
And like, because when you came in here, I think kind of young pitching was like an interesting, healthy part of the organization. Like, is this year and all those injuries made you question that at all?
No, not at all. No, I think those guys, look what Ben Brown's done. Look what I think Wes has taken a step forward. So pitching and injuries, unfortunately, we have to know that that's going to be part of it. But they've all, I think from a development perspective, taken a step forward. And so you feel like you're in a better place.
Just with Jordan, can you lay out what you can share with us as far as this calendar?
He's throwing a live today, and then he will move to game situations, like a rehab, at an affiliate.
Here is the lineup for today. Ian Happ will lead off and play left. Michael Busch will bat second and play first. Seiya Suzuki, whose OPS is now at .836, will bat third and play right field. Cody Bellinger is your DH. Paredes at third. Horner at second. Swanson, who's had a really good 10 days, but he's still underwater when it comes to the OPS, will bat seventh, and Pete Crow Armstrong will bat eighth and play center. And Bethancourt is your catcher for Cubs baseball today. Assad on the bump.
Thank yous to our guests, the wonderful Colin Johnson. Glad we got to know him, because Hard Knocks is going to have you get to know him as well, we learned.
Oh, and by the way, for the Cardinals, Eric Fetty will be pitching against the Cubs today.
Anthony Heron and Kevin Fishbane were guests as well. Thanks to Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka for another terrific week of shows. We can't wait until Monday. We will have plenty more to discuss. Have a very safe weekend, especially if you're going to be at Lollapalooza. Sunscreen, hydration, don't drink too much. Take care.
Stay off that Molly!
Yes, stay off the Molly and the lean, and let the music be your intoxicant. Or other things as well. Just be careful. We'll talk to you on Monday. Enjoy Cubs baseball.